thank the Lord for that group. We'll put up with that little racket, won't we? It's a good group. We like linoleum suckers here. And then those that our view on teenagers is that you, when they get 12 years old, you put them in a barrel, put a lid on the barrel and cut a hole in the side of it to feed them through. When they get 16 years old, you stop up the plug, or you plug up the hole. Now, we're grateful God has given us young people, and He has blessed us here with a good number of those. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter. Now, we're actually, in our study, we're in the 4th chapter of the book of Romans. But in the 4th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul uses Abraham as an example of being saved by grace through faith. And I want us to read that account this morning of when Abraham was actually saved. And then we'll move to the 4th chapter of Romans, and we'll continue our study there in the fourth chapter of Romans. Now, I believe that Paul spends all these chapters in the book of Romans defining saved by grace over and over and over and over again. And he really does want us to get it. He wants us to understand that we serve the Lord out of our love for Him and His love for us. It's not out of some kind of obligation. It's not out of some kind of religious duty that we do these things. So I hope that you're here today not out of religious duty, but because of your love for the Lord and your desire to be where He is at and where the Word of God is being taught. So let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy Word, and what a privilege it is. Perhaps you get tired of me saying that, but it is a privilege for you to be able to have God's Word in your possession, to read it for yourself, to have this wonderful guidebook that the Lord has given us, His Word, to be able to follow Him by. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." What a promise. What a promise. And Abraham said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus." And Abraham said, "Behold to me thou hast given." And Abraham said, "Behold to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." Now, you have to understand that Abraham was, and his wife Sarah, were past the age of bearing children. And he brought him forth, and he brought him forth abroad, and said, "Lord, now, look now," and he said, "Look now toward heaven." So it must have been at night. "Look now toward heaven." Now, I want you to picture this. I want you to get this in your mind and be with Abraham here, okay? Step out into the darkness with Abraham and look up at the stars on a clear night. Look up into the heavens on a clear night. And tell the stars. Tell me how many stars there is there. Look at the stars and give a number of the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. The Lord said to Abraham, this is what your generations are going to be. Verse 6, very, very important verse. And he believed in the Lord. Do you get it? And he believed in the Lord. Now let me ask you today, do you believe in the Lord? And Abraham believed in the Lord. Abraham believed in the Lord. And it was counted to him for righteousness. You may be seated. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if my hand were to represent the glory of God, the Bible says that every single person has sinned and come short of that. So something has to be to bring me from this point here to this point here. Is it good works? Let's say that I would just dedicate myself all the rest of my life to good works. If I were to take everything that I have, which is not much, it's all going to rust down, I'm not going to take any of that with me, but let's just say that it amounted to quite a bit. If I could just take all of that and sell it and take what I get from that and give to the poor and give to a hospital or give to ministry somewhere, would that bring me from this point here to this point here? Answer me, church, would it? No. Okay. Let's say that I did that I sold all that I had and I dedicated myself to ministry and I just packed up the few clothes that I had and I took the globe and I looked at a place that would have the greatest need that I could possibly think of, where they need a minister, where they need a preacher, and I'd put my finger on that and say, I'm going to take what money I have and buy a ticket to that place, and there I'm going to spend my life. I'm going to spend the rest of my life ministering to those people in that third world country, and I'm going to deprive myself of the comforts of this country and go to that country and serve out the rest of my days there. Would that bring me from this point here to this point here? Surely that would do it. Is that not true? I still wouldn't be able to get to this point. Well, you see, you know that that's not true. And of course, your answer is correct. The thing about it, I have to, in order to get from this point here to this point here, I must be righteous. But I have no righteousness of my own. I can do all those things. I can do my very, very best, and I have no righteousness of my own. Because when my righteousness is compared to the righteousness of God, which the place I have to be in order to go to heaven, when my righteousness is compared to the righteousness of God, the Bible says that my righteousness is as filthy rags in comparison to the righteousness of God. And so, if I must reach the glory of God and the righteousness of God in order to be here, then something must take place. And God took Abraham, and he said to Abraham, Abraham, you are past the age of having children, but you're going to have a child. And Sarah is going to bear that child, and she's past the age of bearing also. Here is a human impossibility. I preached at a church a while back for a celebration that they was having the church was filled with they believed in having a lot of kids. That's the only way I know how to put it. Almost every family there had 6 or 7 kids. And I made a tragic mistake when I got up to preach. I do this every once in a while, Matt. I just seem to get my seat of my britches caught on my own pitchfork. And I did this on that occasion. I was just trying to be funny. Don't ever try to be funny. I was just trying to be funny, and I said, I've told my wife, whatever you do, do not drink any of the water here. And I thought that was real funny. But them people did not think it was funny. Or at least one person in that group, several people laughed, but one person did not laugh. I didn't pick her out. But I got a letter from her the next week that she didn't think that was funny. But I'm telling you, if you'd have said to Abraham, Abraham, you're going to have a baby. Your wife's going to have a baby. You're going to bear a baby. It's going to come from your own loins. He said, no way. I've got this heir that's not even my kinfolks. Mom, I need a drink. I've got this heir that's not even my kinfolks, and he's going to be the heir. No. And he took Abraham out in the dark, and he said, look at the stars. I've looked at the stars on a clear night, haven't you? There's no way to number them. And he said, this is what is going to come from your loins. I'm going to bless your seed. And the Bible says that he believed God. And what happened when he believed God? Help me, church. What happened when he believed God? It was counted to him for righteousness. Now, here's where the ledger is. Are you hearing me today? Here's the ledger. Here's Lanny's ledger over here. Him doing whatever he does. This is his ledger in righteousness. It does not, thank you, it does not add up. It doesn't add up. I come short of the glory of God every single time. Every time. But guess what? You do too. And so, here's the two ledgers. And when Abraham believed God, God wrote on Abraham's ledger righteousness. He believed in God, and so he became the righteousness of God was written in his ledger, not because Abraham was righteous, but because God is righteous. And God gave him righteousness. It was imputed righteousness. Now I want to give you some terms this morning. I want to define some of these biblical terms for you that we'll be studying in the book of Romans. We've already been talking about them, so I want us to really get them down pat. First one is justified. And the word justified means established as just by acquittal from guilt. Established as just by acquittal from guilt. I'm guilty. But because Jesus Christ died on the cross, I'm justified. Not in me. You know, people might think, well, man, if you do that kind of preaching, that's going to give people a license to sin. Oh, no. Gives us a license to do what is right. Gives us a license to love the Lord and to know that it is not in us, it is in Him. And to serve Him out of love, not out of guilt. To serve Him out of loving Him and Him loving us, not out of some kind of obligation to be at church. Righteousness. Right living and right standing with God. Not my own, The righteousness of God is imputed righteousness on the grounds of what? On the grounds of grace. Not because I deserve it. Grace is unmerited favor. That's been a definition for a long, long time. I don't know that we could ever beat that. It's unmerited on our part. We do not merit that grace that He gives us, but it's unmerited favor. We're saved by unmerited favor. We're saved by grace. Grace, grace, God's grace. And it's that covers my sin. And then this word imputed, and it's found in Romans, the 4th chapter. And it literally means credited to my account. It's credited to my account. Put in my account. Now I want us to take our Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, the 4th chapter, and let's look at the first 3 verses. Now we've heard about Abraham. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? What did we find out when we studied about Abraham? What did we find out when we look at the life of Abraham? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. He's got a bragging point. But it depends on what you're putting that up against. You know, I can talk about what a good fella I am, what a good guy I am, but it depends on what you compare me to. Whether or not I'm any good. So when I am compared to the righteousness of God, I fall short every single time, and so do you. And so if Abraham could brag about his righteousness, he might be able to brag about everything that he'd done and how he had followed God. But when it was held up to the righteousness of God, it would not hold water. In these next few verses of Genesis, the 15th chapter, where we read the story of Abraham, in verse 18, here the Bible says, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. And here in verse 2, it says, if Abraham was justified by works, he would be able to boast, but not before God. In verse 3, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and righteousness was posted to his account. I want us to read a few verses here. Let's get down to verse 13 in Romans 4. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. The law didn't do it, but through the righteousness of faith. He didn't get it through church membership or baptism. He didn't get it through being a member of a godly family. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there's no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which are not as though they are, who again believed in hope, that he might against hope, excuse me, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. In verses 16 and following in the Amplified Bible, it says this: therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith. In order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. Now, when we and I'm jumping around a little bit here, but I want us to see this imputed righteousness. I want us to grab hold of that. I want us to understand that God has posted that to our account. Not ours, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ, so that we might be saved. And that it is a matter of believing. It's a matter of putting your trust and your faith in the Lord Jesus. So what do we say? What do we mean when we say believe in the Lord? The devils believe and tremble. So it's not just saying I believe in God. It is a personal relationship with Him. It is where you have put your trust and your faith in Him, and He comes into your heart to be your Savior. There's three major imputations in the Bible. In Romans 5 and verse 12, the sin of Adam was imputed to all mankind. That means that when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, inherited sin passed upon every creature. Now, if sin is imputed to us through Adam's sin, and all of Adam's race, and all of us are in Adam's race, and it's imputed sin, and that's what makes us lost, then how can a child go to heaven if that child has imputed sin from Adam? Now, would you say that a child does not have a sin nature? No, a child has sin nature. They don't have to be very old for us to recognize that sin nature. Matter of fact, can you satisfy a baby while they dirty their diaper and they don't want to lay in it? They'll just go to screaming and kicking and carrying on until somebody changes their diaper. They want what is theirs. They will fight and demand a toy that may be theirs. And I've learned through watching my grandchildren that they learn how to manipulate grown people around in order to suit their needs. They will say over a toy that they want that their sibling has, "I had it first." They're jealous and they're selfish and they have a sin nature. But they've not reached the age of accountability. They've not reached a point that they are accountable for their sin. Now, what age is that? What age is it that a child is accountable for his sin? So that if that child is given the opportunity to come to Jesus and they reject that opportunity and they die in that state, they'll go to hell. What is that age of accountability? It is when they become accountable for their sin. And for some, it's earlier than others. Some later. And some never reach that age of accountability. where they're accountable for their sin. But most people, in the sound of my voice, in this auditorium, are accountable for their sin. Maybe not everyone, but most people that's listening to me today is accountable for your sin. All mankind sin was imputed to Christ when he died on the cross. I want to look at that verse with you. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. 'So Adam's sin was imputed to us. Our sin was imputed to Christ.' Look at verse 21. 5 and verse 21. 'For he hath made him to be sin for us.' Who? Christ. 'For he hath made him,' Christ, 'to be sin for us.' You see, every single one of us deserved to die on the cross. But he made him. God made this plan. God made him. God made Jesus to be sin for us. You see, when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying, 'Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me.' It wasn't the death part of that, I don't believe. Because I think that he knew he could do that. But here, was there any other way but that all the sin of the world was to be on Jesus and he would die for all of the sin of the world? Folks, when you take Christ out of the gospel, there is no gospel. When you take Christ's blood out of the gospel, there is no gospel. It was through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ that you and I are saved. Our sin was imputed on him, was put on him, and he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin, that we might be made, there's our word, that we might be made, what's that next word? The righteousness of God in him. So Adam's sin was imputed to us. Our sin was imputed on Christ when he died on the cross. And then thirdly, Christ's righteousness is imputed to all believers. Back in Romans, the 4th chapter, look at verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If you came and mowed my yard for me, and when you got through, I paid you. And I said, now, I'm going to just give you this money. You're my friend, and I haven't really done anything for you in a long time, and I'd like to just give you this. And you would say, are you nuts? Oh, we know you're nuts. But have you lost your mind? I just got through working for this money. You're not giving me anything. I worked for it. I mowed your yard. That's the reason you're paying me, dummy. I worked for it. And so Romans says that if it's by works, then it's not by grace. If it is by works, it's not by grace. If you worked for it and was able to earn it, which you couldn't, but if you worked for it and was able to earn it, it's not grace anymore. It's by works. It's by works. I want to close with verse 6 and verse 7 because I wish that we could just camp here. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man. Now listen to me today. I want us to grab hold of this. What does this word blessedness mean? If I met you on the street and I said, Nathan, how are things going? And you said, I am blessed. I am blessed. Oh, if you got time, I'll tell you about it. I mean, God just pouring it out on me, hand over fist. We walked away, I think. He's not very happy. Poor old Nathan. I feel so sorry for him. He needs to get counseling. No, I would say he's happy. Oh, that boy, I need a little bit of that. I wish he could sell that in a pill. I'd take it. I need that. He's blessed, happy. It's a place of rejoicing. It's a wonderful place to be. And here's what Paul says as he's writing to the Romans. When he gets to verse 6, he uses David as an example. Tell me about David. Oh, David started out good and he got on the banana peel and never could get stopped. What about David's sin? What about the situation? What about the affair that he had with another woman? Well, what about murder? He took Uriah's wife, sent for her when the boy was off fighting for the king. Brought him back, tried to trick him into going into his wife so nobody would know that the baby was the king's. But Uriah was a godly man. He was a gentleman. And he said, I'll not go and be with my wife when my buddies are laying out there in the field fighting. I'm not going to do it. Sent him back. David sent a note with Uriah to the commander and said, when the battle gets hot, pull him back from Uriah. Let him kill him. And that's exactly what took place. So he was guilty of adultery. He was guilty of murder. Nathan the prophet went to David and told him a story about a little poor little family that had a sheep that they'd raised in their own house. And it was just like one of the kids. You know how to have a pet like that. This next door neighbor who was rich, somebody come visiting, and he went over and stole the family's little sheep, and he slaughtered it, and he cooked it for the company. And David said, you bring that man before me, he deserves to die. Fourfold he will pay back for that sheep. Nathan put his finger in the face of the king and said, King, you are the man. You're the one that did that. And then David gets forgiveness. David gets forgiveness. Folks, I want to tell you, forgiveness, imputed righteousness, is a great place to be. Imputed righteousness is a great place to be. The righteousness of God put on our account, imputed to our account, is a wonderful place to be. And David experienced, after all he'd done, the Lord forgave him. The Lord forgave him. I'm telling you, folks, it's by grace. It's by grace. Any one of those sins David deserved to die by, the law, and he knew that. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God Are you hearing me today? Unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Woo! Is it a good place? Oh, it's a good place. Church, let's stand together. Would you be saved today by grace through faith, and that not of yourself? It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Would you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today and Him alone? I want to give you an opportunity to come right now and make that decision for Christ if you're here and not a Christian. If God's dealing with your heart to do that, you step out from where you're at and come to where I'm at. Now, you know I can't save you, but I know a man who can, and that's Jesus. He will save you, change your life. He will take your sins to the cross. He will impute His righteousness upon you for your salvation. You see, it can't be by works, can it? It just can't be. It can't be. It's by grace. And He's offering that grace to you today. If you'll surrender to Him and accept Him as your Savior, He'll change your life. He'll change your life. If God's dealing with your heart to become a part of this fellowship, we invite you to come now. That's join the church. If God's dealing with you to... if you haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism yet and... you need to do that. And of course you understand that after you get saved, that's the next step. That's the next thing you do. You get baptized. Because that's what the Bible says to do. And so we want you to do that. We believe in doing that here. And we believe in immersion baptism. We will do that. So as we sing, we invite you to come, or if it's to recommit your life to Him, if you need to come to this altar and pray, feel free to do that. As we sing, you come.